Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davinson Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First hand here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot! Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run. Yunmin Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
What's good, people? What's good? It is the Touchline Hotspur podcast. As you know, we're here every week. We're going live tonight, recapping the game, looking ahead to what might be the most depressing weekend of the season so far. But before we get into that, I want to introduce my co-star tonight, a fearsome foursome, a front line with more attacking intent than what we saw on the pitch today. I'm going to go to my brother Yao. What are you saying, brother? What are you saying? You good?
I'm out here. You know, it's been, family-wise, it's been a good week, you know, but as far as Tottenham are concerned, a lot of men still need to come on down. They're hanging on to the rafters, so I don't appreciate it. There's a variant in our club, but we'll discuss that later. There's a muck at our club. We'll discuss that soon. And, you know, there's a few other suspects, Ryan, for later, but, you know, we'll talk about him on another day. But mostly, it's been a good week. I feel healthy, yeah? Spurs are trying to make me unhealthy, but I feel healthy. They can't hold me down.
Cool. We've got brother Tops. Now, just guys, you know, we want to congratulate Tops publicly for his new role, his new job, moving back to London. Ooh, and actually, the plan is in 3 to 5 years, Tops will be buying Tottenham Hotspur off Daniel Levy. if you know how much this guy's about to make.
You man are killing me, man. Yeah, man. Positive start to the week. Good news for me and everything. Negative entry of the week as I watched that hot pile of shit this evening. But yeah, man, we'll get into it, man. But thanks for having me, brother.
All good. And finally,
Oh, you've been cutting out there, bro. But I've been good, you know. I think you said I've been good. You know what? I've been taking a leaf out of Ndombele's book, man. I've been trying to take some extended leave from this Spurs bullshit, you know, just trying to pull myself out of it, take myself away, man. That's what Sizzler said, fam. Sometimes you have to take yourself away from other things that's hurting you. But listen, yeah. Trust me, bro. Trust me. You can't go down with the ship, fam. You can't go down with the ship. Like y'all said, a couple of men got to come on down, and I don't want to be one of them. So, you know, I just got to keep it ticking.
Big facts. It's actually been a few weeks since I've been on, actually. But I'm back in the mud. back in the mud with our beloved Spurs. And where else to start? We had a result at the weekend which was utterly disappointing in the league. Potentially our last 3 points that we were going to get in the league was about 2-3 weeks ago, for a little while because of that Palace result. And then we come to Thursday, European Conference League, playing against Rennes away. Strong lineup to start. In some ways, you know, Nuno did talk about lack of creativity. We'll get onto that a little bit later. Picks a relatively strong lineup, but there were some obvious weaknesses. Topped, what are you saying, man? When you saw that lineup, what was your first reaction? What were you thinking?
First reaction, those fullbacks look very higgy, man. Fullbacks looking very higgy. I think everyone knows our opinion on this podcast. About the variant, number two, whatever you want to call it, on that right side. And we all know the deficiencies of Ben Davies on that left side. So if they were going to get any luck or any sort of positive thing out of the game today, it was probably going to be through those avenues. Again, I thought the team was fairly strong. Good to see Burge come back in, Lucas starting, and obviously a burst of creativity to have Ndom and Brian Hill there, man. I thought it was good to have Tanganga and Rodon starting again together. But obviously, it wasn't an easy day for that back four, or that back five, to be honest. So.
Yeah. It's one of them, when we qualified for this competition, obviously everyone was like, oh, we got, this will be a chance to play our squad players. So there are going to be moments where you're going to see some players that we might not see in the league, that kind of thing. Era, what did you think? You see the lineup, and then we start. The game starts going. I don't know. Did you watch it? Were you hearing about it? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I missed. Let me not lie. I missed a lot of the game. I was out today, and yeah. I weren't going to be running home to try and catch this. Let me not lie to you, bro. I figured out the plan now. I know what's going on. But when I saw names like Ben Davies, Joe Rodon, I'm sorry, but you're in that list as well. Especially people that are nameless, like the variant, you get what I mean, number two, not even thinking about him. When I see those names there, I'm not even trying to make it back home in time. But other names that did make me feel good, like seeing Brian Gill, I'm happy to see that. I heard that he played a bit more central today. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that. That's something that will make me go back and watch the highlights now. I want to see how Ndombele played. I want to see how Ndombele and Skip played, because I want to see if that looks better than when Højbjerg and Skip are playing as well. I'm interested in that kind of stuff. And also, I need to see if Brian Gill playing at 10 is making Ali look as stupid as I think it's going to make it look. Because I'm hearing all of this talk about Dele, about how Dele's in the team for pressures or pressing alone. And all the only thing he's doing, and I'm looking at the stats anyway, is pressing over where, like, he's basically covering for Reguilón or whatever. He's doing all of his pressing at left back, and it's like, bro, do we really need a number 10 that his only, the only good thing he does on the pitch is press at left back? Like, I don't know, man. I'm over this, bro. I can't see what the plan is. Ali's been done for years, like this guy says in the chat, you know what I mean, big facts. I don't know, man. I don't know what to give you, Dave. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got anything to give, or did that game suck the life out of you?
Never. The chest is man already. They're born ready. Real thoroughbred Tottenham, man. You know what I mean? Not none of these men that have been bought into the club. Thoroughbred, born and raised. Let me say something real quick. Shout out to the Beast, obviously. Shout out to the NSO. You know what time it is with the new Spurs order. But as Era said, you know, certain men need to come on down. Let's talk about those men that need to come on down. Variant. Listen, never in my life, yeah, have I seen a club buy a man that's immediately on the decline. Never seen it before. I've seen a man have a peak and then drop. I've seen a man come, do a little thing, and then drop. But never have I seen a club buy a man and immediately he decline. That means we were lied to. I'm not going to speak of his name. He is a variant. He's known as number two. That guy can never, should never, play another game for us again. And if he is going to play games, yeah, he should only play in games in which teams have an overall rating on FIFA of 2 stars, because that's his level, yeah? Or default players on PES, that's his level. 70 overall rating. That's his level. Yeah. If we're playing anyone above 71, 72 overall rating, that's not his level. He can't be going to that because he's going to mess up. So that's one. Tanganga, I'm going to be honest. I know a lot of men are not going to like this, but I don't want to see Tanganga at centre-back. I don't. Yeah. And that's not me having a go at him and saying he's terrible or anything like that, because I actually think he gives as good as he can get. But position-wise, it just doesn't sit well with me that he's at centre-back. He seems to be out of position all the time, which is an absolute criminal thing to do at centre-back. Yes, he's got the athleticism to get back into position, but that's not the point. The whole point of being a centre-back is that you control the back line. You control the defensive line. He can't do that, so I don't want to see him there. Rodon, you weren't on the list before. Error pointed you out. And I've seen you hanging at the rafters. So, my friend, come on down. You are now added to the list. Get the hell out of my club. I ain't got time for you. I've got no time for sentimental things whatsoever. I hate your guts. You've got nothing on the left side of the fence. You've got nothing on the right side of the fence. You can't header. And surprisingly, you're like 6 foot something and you still can't header. It makes me so confused. You can't play out from the back and you can't dribble. Get out of my club. I don't want to see you again. You're done out. Davis, listen.
Before you go, 151 appearances for our club.
Davis, he's tainted his whole time at Spurs in the last 18 months. You see, before that, he was just, you know, come in, do a little job, kick out. All right, cool. You know, we applaud, cool. But the last 18 months the last 3 years that Davis has given us, take away 18, the last 3 years that Davis has given us is an absolute farce. This guy looks down the line like this.
Like you see the painting down the line, bro.
Looks down the line like this, doesn't get the ball, goes back to the centre back, gets the ball back, does it again, doesn't go into the middle, doesn't go down the line, goes back to the centre back. If you do not know how to play football or cannot deliver a pass, please remove yourself from my team. Yeah, for the sake of my hat, remove yourself from my team. And this is what is pissing me off the most about Spurs. We had our lineup. People will say it's a strong lineup. What are we basing this strong lineup on? Because that defense alone is weak. The whole back line is weak. That's 5 men out of 11 gone. You can't enter a rave with like 6 of your men still outside struggling to pay. You men are going nowhere. The table ain't paid for. The bottles ain't free. What kind of nonsense is this? Somebody's got to pay. You're telling me 5 men are useless and we're supposed to get a result with that? It can't run. And to add to this, I'm with Tops, the honourable gentleman who's on my top right. I don't know where he is on other people's cameras. Booker T, if you don't know. But let me tell you this now. Nuno, out. Yeah, I'm part of that club. Yeah, I've got no sentimental value to none of these, man. It is either deliver or kick out. That's where I'm at right now. I've had enough of this project stuff. I've had enough of this. Oh, we're going to take time and build up to it. It's either you deliver or you kick out. One or the other. That's where I'm at. And don't even let me get started on that muck either. You know who the muck is. Don't let me get started.
Hashtag you know more.
So it's interesting what you mentioned. So you just mentioned the whole defense. You're saying you're looking at go down the whole line. I mean, I think Tanganga can do a job, but he needs to make sure if you're going to play Tanganga, you've got to play someone a bit more experienced next to him. Tops, that whole back line, you know, Yao saying it stinks. We know we struggle defensively as it is.
Yeah.
Watching the first half, after the first 15 minutes or so, we start sitting back. We're playing on the edge of our box. We're getting popped by men that I've never ever seen before, not even on FIFA. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When we went 1-0 up, what were you thinking? Did you think, okay, this is it? We're in 2-3 goals, you guys away, or what?
When we went one up, I actually thought we looked okay. I thought on the balance of play, we were getting on the ball. We did make it a little bit difficult for them, and Dom was getting on the ball. We're finding the ball in central areas, but then after the goal, I don't know, it kind of just kind of changed a little bit. You know, it almost looked as if the crowd carried Rennes back into the game a bit as well. They started to give them a bit of confidence, and they had more and more chances. It was a bit of a funny sort of like, what, 20, 25 minutes after we scored, really. I didn't really know what happened to us. We kind of dropped a lot deeper. Our centre-halves seemed to drop a lot deeper. And we weren't really playing. We allowed Rennes to have a lot of the ball. And obviously the first goal that came just from a bit of interchange on the left-hand side. You know, admittedly, and Dom should probably do more, but doesn't get close enough. And the guy whips it into the far right-hand corner, which I don't think Gallini can do much about, really. So at that point, it's 1-1 and it's all Ren coming up to half-time. But as long as we didn't do anything stupid and just kind of regroup. Because, you know, some of these games as well, no matter the opposition, yeah, there's going to be times when you're going to have to concede the ball. There's going to be times where you're going to be under the cosh a little bit. But as long as you manage that, I think it's good. I do sort of agree with Yao with a lot of his points. I feel like, firstly, the type of profile of defenders that we had, you know, with Tanganga and Rodon, whilst they complement each other, I don't know, just couldn't put my finger on it today. Both of them just seemed a little bit shaky. Positionally, I didn't think Rodon was very good on the ball. I didn't think Tanganga was great. And sometimes as well, like when I watch this, especially with the way we use our fullbacks, no matter which pairing it is, I'm always a bit worried because Nuno's football at Wolves, fine, he played a back three, but it was always on creating narrow functional midfield with space on the flanks to allow your fullbacks to progress and play. Today, I did not see Davies in that upper third. And when I did see Doherty, it was just trash. So you've got to tell me then, what are these men doing? What are they doing? Like, and everyone knows that defensively, that is where our biggest problem is. Every single game, like apart from these first three games that we played this season, every game you're going into it. And the stats don't lie as well, guys. You know, the stats don't lie. The number of shots we concede, the number of chances we give up, the number of clearances we're having to do, the number of blocks we're having to do. This will all come back and bite us at some point. And we need to put a stop to it. Like, and what's frustrating as well is that the most important player in our defence is stuck in some prison in bloody God knows where. it's, you know, trust us to buy apparently the Serie A's best defender and he can't even get a game, bro. Like, I'm
bro, that's so Spurs. That is so Spurs.
It's typical. That's typical. I think I'm going to come to you, Era, and Yao on this one. Do you reckon we've got too many system players? By that, I mean players that need everything to be right for them to thrive. I'm looking at Bergwijn. I'm looking at Ali. I'm looking at even a Skip. You know, is it a case that they need so much to go right for them to play well? Yeah. And if it starts to fall apart, just a little bit of pressure, a little bit of, you know, a foul doesn't go your way, referee's kind of decision doesn't go your way, or that, you know, that Tops just said, there's 5-10 minutes of pressure from the other team in front of their own fans. They're going to want to try and put a good performance against, you know, the English team, that kind of thing. Do we have too many players, right? I referred to it in the group chat, Fragile FC, okay, who need the system to be perfect before we get any sort of momentum. Eric, talk to me on that.
Bro, I see it as, you know what it takes me back to? It takes me back to thinking of like how Pochettino Spurs used to play, even with a similar lineup to this. Sometimes, I think it was very rare that Pochettino Spurs had his first back four, as in Alderweireld, Vertonghen, just the solid back two. A lot of the time you'd get Dier in there, you'd get bit part players in there. But what you'd see, what he did, yeah, is he made his team solid. he would have like Wanyama sitting in between the two defenders if that was necessary. Even if you put Dyer there, you'd have Dyer between the two defenders. He'd have the fullbacks pushing out, but he'd cover that defense. Do you get what I mean? With like turning to a back three. And then he'd have, because he has that cover over the defense, it would release Dembele to carry the ball and do a madness, draw in two man, and then get the ball to someone like Ali in space where he can't be. Well, in fact, let's not lie. He would do a lot of madness even back then, but he would get some goals at least. He'd get some goals. He would lose the ball like 10 times a match, and then you'd get it back, and you get me. Maybe 11 and 12 might end up being a nutmeg and a goal. Do you know what I mean? That's how Ali used to play. But now, wait, we don't even get that. Now it just looks like big gaps. Like, if the fullbacks go forward, yeah, I'm looking at Rodon and Tanganga, and I'm looking at them like they're going to be on their own. Skip is sitting there, do you know what I mean? But Skip's trying to do everything. It don't really look like, and this is me, full disclosure, I didn't watch much of this match, do you know what I mean? I saw a few clips and I've heard what people have said. I feel like Ndombele has to be that answer, man. Like, players of Ndombele's level and above. I'm thinking Brian Hill, I like him, yeah, but again, even he's going to be one for the future, and it should be players, yeah, of a slightly better level. Those are the players that we're talking about that we want starting games, yeah. Brian Hill, that should be the lowest, really and truly. That should be the lowest. Yeah. Skip, yeah. That should be the lowest, really and truly. Yeah, it has to be higher than this, man. You're right, Dave, in that it's too much. Like, even players like Berwin, yeah, I put so many stocks in this guy, I ain't even got none left. Bro, they're trying to kick my nut, bro. Bane coming to Wall Street and try to lock the whole thing off because it was peak. It's peak.
Stocks are down.
It's, bro, I ain't those got, bro, down, they're trying to clean my nut. They're trying to take everything. They all want the cat and the dog, man. They all want the cat and the dog right now. It's peak. But listen, you ain't getting your money back from them, man. So I say put all your stocks in players like Brian Hill. Even Skip, yeah? I like Skip a lot. I got stocks in Skip. But Skip's future's not looking too bright, and it's not his fault. Like you said, it's the team, it's the setup, it's the fact that he's going to need way too many things. Bro, how can we be providing less things than Norwich provided for Skip? Imagine that.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Imagine that. Norwich were able to provide the basics. We can't even provide the basics for my man, bro. Ridiculous.
To take in today's game, right? Admittedly, Skip actually played well. Like, this is what's getting me as well, is that, like, this is a kid that's being thrust into this position. Like, this is the kind, and I said this as well, it all goes back to the bigger picture at Spurs, which is essentially poor squad planning. We always said that this was the kind of game, this was the kind of season where you thought Skip's going to be slowly fed into the squad. Everyone's like saying, oh, he did really well at Norwich and he's coming to a Premier League team and he can't be the starter because he's a young player. He's fairly inexperienced. But because of the level of the squad at this point, he's having to play week in, week out. And not only just week in, week out, but in important games. Like today, I personally thought, again, at the base of that midfield, in front of the back four, he did everything we wanted him to do. He harried. He was one of the better pressers when the press was triggered, and he actually used the ball quite well today. Like, I thought he had a fairly good account of himself. But again, that's a guy who played 90 last Sunday. He played 90 today, and he's probably going to expect to play another 90 on Sunday. And this is a young guy who we were looking at actually having someone like him play 90 every Thursday in the Europa Conference League. But again, because of the squad and where we're at, this is what we're having to do. And again, I keep saying this, I've mentioned this a lot as well, it's poor squad planning. Because if we look at the base of the squad as a whole, we needed more first-team recruitments. Players who are first-team ready quality to come in so that we don't have to put the pressure on the Brian Hills. We don't have to put the pressure on the Skips. You know, they've got to put the pressure on these other guys because it means that the first-team guys that we can trust, they can come in, do the job, they can maybe come off, almost like what Kane did today, and then give the other guys a bit of time to just do their thing. But no, we're having to play four or five first-teamers, of which now today, for instance, two of them got injured. And then now we're looking at Chelsea thinking, yeah, the squad's down to bare bones. We knew the squad was bare bones already. But then we got ourselves into this position, man. Like, and Skip is just, I mean, like the one good thing about him, sorry, Dave, to go on, but the one good thing about him is that we know he's robust. We know he wants to play. We know he's keen. So those 90 minutes are just going to be good for his experience. He's a kid. But again, that's 90 minutes that he doesn't need to be playing.
Yeah. I like Skip, man. Sorry, just to lock that off, Dave, don't mind you. I just want to say, I do like Skip. And it might have sounded like I was fully getting onto him. I'm not getting onto Skip. I just think the circumstances are not good for Skip.
Agreed.
Like Skip, though. I do like Skip.
Yeah. No, I wasn't a Skip fan until last season. Tops had to bring me in to the Skip Mafia. Watched him for Norwich, saw how he played. But just going back to that squad conversation, Yao, what's your thoughts on this? I reckon, you know, in the game of football, especially now with the amount of games you play every week, you need, it's not just 1 to 11. Remember, in Poch's best years, our 1 to 11 can hang with any man. And then we brought on subs like Nkudu and even, well, Lamela was like sub number one, as it were. Now we're looking at a situation where, you know, you need about 15, 16 players that you can rely on to get you through the amount of games you play in the season, especially in the Premier League, 38 games. There's no easy games, as they say. 1 to 16, the quality level and the drop-off is a bit mad. That's what I'm thinking when I'm seeing this squad. That's why you've got guys like Davies coming in for his 151st game and looking like he's never played football before in his life. Okay? So, yeah, talk to me about that squad from 1 to 16, from 1 to 20. What's going on?
First things first. And I have to say this because if I don't, I'll be kicking myself. In this week of football, Rennes have managed to get a draw at home against Tottenham Hotspurs. And Young Boys have managed to beat United 2-1 at their home ground. And both teams played well, by the way, Young Boys and Rennes. So the results are deserved for both teams. But the reason I bring that both up is because there is a massive naive perception, especially your supporters in this country, that if your team is of a certain ilk, you're far better than, let's say, the minnows of other European countries. That is ridiculous. That's the first thing I'd like to highlight. Because most of these other European countries technically put England to shame. Just the English league to shame. If you add the Scottish league to that, it's an absolute farce. So don't think you can just go to these teams like Rennes, especially with their stadium and how raucous their fans are, and just roll them over with fringe players. Like if we had played, I know coming into this competition, people were saying, yeah, we could play our under-23s. Our under-23s would have got banned, like severely beaten up. Yeah, so 1 to 11. Who's that keeper? Gallini. Gallina? I think that's
Gallini.
So Lloris would be number one. He'd be number two. The drop-off is, it's massive. It's actually quite big, to be fair. And in fairness to him, he's number two. So, you know, he's really there in case we really need him. So, you know, he's only going to give as good as he can get. Left back. Reguilón is the number one, and I'm imagining that Davis is number two because suspect, he's currently in custody with the police because they're trying to find out if he's a real person or not. So, Davis to Reguilón. Listen, it's a massive drop-off, yeah? Like I was going to be nice, but the drop-off is insane, yeah? And Reguilón hasn't been too good since he's come back from injury, and I'm still telling you the drop-off is insane. Like, it's actually stupid, massive. Now we go to the centre-backs. Now we know we have Diabolical. Yeah, he hasn't earned his name back. Yeah, he's still Diabolical. That guy is useless. And until, I don't care for the first three games of the season, he is still useless. And the drop-off in that position is Rodon. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It doesn't even get better. Yeah. So now we go. I'm not even going to put Romero in this, by the way. I'm just going on what is been the most consistent 11 over the past few seasons. Yeah. So Romero is a new signing. I'm going to allow him for now. Sanchez is possibly the other starting centre back. You know,
Mr. Body check.
All right. Okay. Cool. And then the drop off is what? What are we saying? Tanganga? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Tanganga is the drop off. That's
centre back anyway.
I'm sorry. That's just not good enough. Yeah. And then you've got. Let's go to the right back. You got. I don't even know who the starting right back is. I have no clue, bruv. Who is there? Who is in that position? Nah. So let's just move away from right back because that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, bro. Let's leave that. Let's leave that completely. We're moving away from that. Let's go to centre mid. DM at least. We got Skip, and that's it. Like.
legit, just skip.
We've got nothing else, just skip, and that's it. Yeah, so
yeah, bare overtime.
Let's go to centre mid. We're finished here. I've just got past the back line. We're finished. Yeah, let's go to centre mid. You got Højbjerg. Wait, where's the drop off? Who's next? Who's next? Nobody else. What, Winks? No, don't say
Winks.
So Winks is the drop off to Højbjerg. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's very bad. And then you got, let's say the other side. Well, I'm going on the best virtual lineup. So Ndombele will be, in my opinion, starting 11, other center mid. The drop off would be Lo Celso. Now, I'm going to be fair to Lo Celso and say, technically wise, he shouldn't be that far off what Ndombele does. But what he does on the pitch is nonsense. Yeah. So the drop off right now is in the pits of hell with Dante's peak. It's right there. Yeah. These times we haven't found Tom Hanks and he hasn't solved the case. So I'm still trying to find out what the hell Lo Celso is doing. The drop off is insane. I've now gone goalkeeper to centre mid, yeah, and we've just acknowledged that the starting 11 is a bit higgy, and the drop off is in the Da Vinci Code with Tom Hanks, and we're still trying to figure out if man's got the labyrinth sorted or not. All right, cool. Let's move to the 10 role. First and foremost, Ali's not a 10. And anyone that tells you that Ali's a 10 is a liar. Ali's not a 10. He is
a decathlete. That's what Ali is. Ali is a decathlete.
Yes. No, on the button. Yeah, on the button. On the button. Yeah. He is a marathon runner. Yeah. Bare kilometers. Right. He can come down to my park down here and run because I'm not doing all them kilometers. He's doing it. But Ali ain't got a good touch. He's slow off the ball. He's slow on the ball. What Ali does have though. Is bare nutmegs. He can nutmeg bare man. Yeah, he's got that. But everything else is an absolute mess. The drop off. What is the drop off in the 10? Can anyone name me another 10? I'll tell you who wants to play that 10. Harry Mukuf King. Yeah, that guy wants to play the 10. Yeah, so that's the next number 10. If you go on how they play and all of that kind of stuff, that's actually the next logistical number 10 in our team. So, all right, cool. So now our striker is the number 10. All right, cool. All right. Okay, cool. That's where we're going now. Let's go to right wing. Lucas, I beat four man. I'm supposed to be Brazilian, but really I'm Bolivian. Don't know where I'm going. Look, listen. The drop-off to Lucas here doesn't exist. It's another skip roll. Where is the drop off?
Jack Clark.
Where is the backup?
Jack Clark. Lord, that's a name. Oh God. Oh God. I know. Someone phone police. Where's that boy?
What?
Where is that boy?
Listen. Ring that back in. Yeah. That boy does not exist.
That boy is missing. No, that's fraud. That was some fraud. That's some money laundering thing.
That's fraud. That's total fraud. We paid ridiculous amount of money and we haven't been paid a penny back. So the drop off is ridiculous. Then we go to left wing. Now we're finally talking. After killing all the rest of this team, we're finally talking about somebody who's done something significant in their time at Spurs. Son. He's not my son, by the way. But he's still somebody's son. Now, the drop-off to him is young Brian Hill, which is fine with me. I can live with that. But there is another drop-off. His name is Stephen. I cannot see Bergwijn. Yeah, that guy owes me money. Useless. How can you come here, score your first goal against Man City? You're doing all big DW, come, and then you've gone missing for the rest of your life. Useless goal. I want my money back. And then we go up top. And let me tell you this about up top, because the guy that's up top was playing number 10 just not too long ago. Yeah. Now he's up top where he should be. Harry Harold Mukuf Kane. And he will not lose the muck till he earns us a trophy some point in his career. I'm telling you, he's a muck in my eyes for life. Now, the drop off to him doesn't exist. So now I've given you four positions in which the drop-off at Spurs does not exist. One is DM, which Skip holds. One is the right-back position. I'm going to say the left-back position because it's Son, and really, that's it, because Bergwijn is Bergwijn, you know. And then we don't even have a drop-off for Kane. And the right-back doesn't exist. So I've now just named five positions in which we're screwed. Five important positions in a Premier League team. And then people wonder why, yeah, we go to places like Rennes and we don't turn them over. The reason why is because we've gone from Jan Vertonghen, baller. Young Toby, not old Toby. Old Toby was dead. Young Toby, baller.
Young Toby.
Kyle Walker, mad athletic. Danny Rose. You know what? I didn't like Danny Rose. Danny Rose had one or two seasons, but all right.
Rate Danny. Cool.
Wanyama, Kenya, say it three times, Candyman, come out. Dembele. That's what I'm talking about, bruv. We had a core, a real core. You look at that, you're like, there's strong black man there, strong white man there, man speak French, man speak Dutch, man speak blood, okay, cool, je ne sais quoi. Everything was looking sexy. Now we have mash, chips, pie. Dad, there's nothing. Nothing, bruv.
I'm telling you, this one is just—it's so.
You know what?
It's so poor, man.
Yeah, as much as that, you know, that's a very, very graphic expose there. We have to be honest. It's been, you know, even that lineup you just mentioned with Toby, you know, young Toby, Super Yan, you know, Dembele, all them guys. Like I said, even in them days, we're still bringing off rubbish off the bench to try and fit games. When we did go behind, when we need something to spark, and I think Tops, you mentioned it earlier, but we don't buy first team ready players because we have this thing about first teamers don't want to be on the bench. Listen, go to Chelsea, look at Man City, and I'm not saying we spend the money that they spend, but they have first teamers riding the bench because they know when they get their 30 minutes, or flip it around, they get their 60 minutes, right, in a dead rubber against Ludogorets or whatever, away. They get their 60 minutes, they'll do their thing, get their two goals, pack up, sit back and go, right, here's how the team is progressing. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where we need to make changes. It probably won't make any changes under Daniel Levy because he likes a bargain, and you don't really get them kind of players for the bargains that, or the kind of money that we're trying to offer. So we have to wait till Tops buys the club before we have any sort of success. Anyway, so guys, we're gonna pivot slightly. Before we do that, I just want to shout out to the people that are watching. We've got an international crowd tonight. It seems like we've got some people from the motherland, the continent of Africa. We've got some South Africans in the house. I see you posting your flags. Shout out to you guys there. We're going to talk about a man who's been talked about a lot on this pod, okay? Tongi Ndombele, right?
Super Saiyan.
Now, this for context, right? Mm. For context, Alistair Gold comes out this week. When we all know play, gets me. He's had his little summer strop. His the French mafia have gone, Aurier, Sissoko. He's back now. He's got a new hair color. He's copying our tweets. Super Saiyan, we see you. Okay. And then now, Alistair Gold comes out and starts talking about this cycle. Okay. And apparently people in the club, I'm not going to directly quote it, but apparently people in the club are seeing a cycle with Tongi where he comes into the team, drops a couple of good performances, gets himself hyped, and then wants to move on because he thinks he should be at a higher level. Okay. Now, I just want to remind Alistair Gold and anyone else listening that when we signed Tongi, we were the runners-up in the Champions League. We currently are playing in an invented competition, which may be liquidated in 3 years' time. Okay? So let's just put this into context. Yeah, I don't even think this competition is going to even last 5 years, right? So let's just put that into context, right? So Alistair Gold comes out, says all this stuff about Tongi. Tongi plays tonight. I think he got, 70 minutes tops? Was it 70? Yeah,
80 minutes.
80 minutes.
I had him at 80 minutes, right? Personally, I liked what I saw for a man playing his first game in 100 odd days or whatever. Tops, what about you? What do you think of his performance?
I thought he did well. Again, like, we can't have expected too much from him because these are his first minutes since May, first minutes since this season. I thought it was kind of a nice foil to have him in there with Skip. And obviously, because of the Lucas injury, we brought on because of the Bergwijn injury, we brought on Højbjerg, which I thought was even better for him because that means that allowed him to maybe push on in a more advanced role. Great little back heel, which was like a sort of a pre-assist to the pass to Kane, to which Kane fed Lucas and we scored the first goal. And then the earlier sort of exchanges, you know, I thought he did well. He was getting on the ball. We all know what his qualities are, you know, his ability to try and break down a defence or break down a low block and tries to find those sort of progressive, incisive passes in between the lines. And he did that, you know, not to mention, you know, added with a little bit of flair. I still feel that, like, his style is very laboured. So if you were to watch him, you would almost sometimes think maybe he doesn't really want to do the hard work or put in the hard yards. But again, there were lots of times that we found him in our third, you know, putting in a bit of a graft, working as hard as he could.
He got a couple of blocks in. I know we are literally blocks FC. Like,
he probably could have done better.
Might as well be Minecraft FC.
He probably could have done better for the first Wren's goal. But I mean, honestly, to be able to have someone like that to interchange with Lucas and Kane and the more advanced players, it's a stark difference to what we saw in that shit show on Saturday against Palace. And for him to get 80 minutes, I thought was good. I feel like, based on this performance, he probably deserves a start now. I feel like Højbjerg and Skip was probably the best sort of combination for him. I used to think about those three in the middle, and I used to think, maybe if it was Winks, it probably wouldn't offer enough protection. But I feel the way that Højbjerg is playing as that sort of shuttling midfielder and Skip as the most deep of those three midfielders, I feel like having him in there as like a Roman eight, sometimes he was kind of in that 10 area, kind of works. So I just happy to see him get minutes, man. And like, hopefully it shuts up a lot of those guys who, you know, given all that rubbish about his conditioning and his wanting to play for the football club and whatnot. Like, we all know his qualities. I don't think it's very obvious what his qualities are. And I'm sorry, I'm having him every single day over Dele Alli in that 10 row. Every day, man.
Yeah. In the 10 row or the 6 or the 8 row that Nuno's been trying to force Dele Alli into over the past few weeks. On the subject of Nuno, I just want to, obviously, Nuno came out after he played what I referred to as a plain white rice midfield against Crystal Palace, right? I don't mean that just because they are all three white, but in the sense that their style of play with Winks, Skip and Højbjerg, we had absolutely no creativity. He was asked about, he had some really ambiguous statement about, oh, I don't know, we've got to train and all this kind of rubbish. we know Ndombele is a creative player, right? He fizzes those passes into our front players. Era, I want to just kind of touch with you, not necessarily, obviously, I know you said you didn't watch much of the match, whatever, but moving forward, what do you need to see from Ndombele this season?
Do you know what? Like, I always, whenever we bring up Ndombele, I always bring up Dembele, Musa Dembele, because I feel like, yeah, where we're going to get the most out of Ndombele is going to be in a quite similar role. But I feel like it's not going to be exactly like how Musa Dembele was, like, so defensive. Tops is right. You want him almost like an eight, but you want him to be between what Dembele gave us and what Eriksen gave us. So Eriksen was allowed more to shuffle around the pitch and be able to play those cute passes inside. And to be honest, we gave Eriksen a bit of a blind, you know what I mean? Like, other parts of his game, maybe they weren't 10 out of 10, but by giving him the space to be able to do what he needs to do to pop up in the spaces that he needs to pop up, that makes the team tick like 10 times more. Just something as simple as that. And I know that's Ndombele's best position might not be so far forward, but I just feel like in order to get the best for Spurs, he might need to play a bit like, well, as the furthest forward midfielder, I think, because I don't know what else we're going to get out of this team.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Like you said, like, again, you cater your team for your better players. The problem is, if you play Tongi in the 10, then our striker, our 9, who plays as a 10, so we're going to find, you know, Harry Kane going to be out on the wing, bending it like Beckham. You know?
And what's interesting as well is that, like, we are missing, you know, certain types of profiles of player as well. Like, I feel like Ndombele, how many times do we see him sort of feed someone like Sonny off the back, you know, off the back of a run or through ball and whatnot? And today we're having sort of wingers like Bergwijn, Heal, and Lucas, who, you know, kind of prefer the ball to feet and come short as well. So, I mean, I also think as well, like, again, like, this is, you have to look at it in like a holistic sort of way. Like, he's played 80 minutes today, and arguably he's played quite well considering he hasn't played this season. But then I have to take into account our team style of play and the build-up and the way that we clearly are being coached, or this new noble which we're supposed to be implementing. And again, these are not the kind of players you want to be using in these type of styles. Like, Ndombele is going to be someone who's clearly wanting to get on the ball, wanting to be creative, wanting to try and influence the game as much as possible. But with such slow build-up, with such poor build-up as well, it almost stifles him. You find him sort of trying to find pockets in and around the pitch, and all our centre-backs are just moving it across the back two, across the back four, with no real intent to try and find players like Skip or Højbjerg or Ndombele to try and progress the ball forward, you know? So it has to be, I feel personally, there has to be a bit of give and take. Nuno has to accept that as much as he wants there to be a compact, functioning midfield, for us to have any sort of creativity in that midfield, we have to loosen the purse strings a little bit to allow someone like Ndombele to play. Because there's no point of you putting all your stocks in Ali, because Ali's just going to be running up and down, doing these little five-yard passes on the flanks, right or left. And actually, the person who's going to be probably starved the most is going to be Kane, because he's going to then have to come in and drop as much as he can to try and feed these guys who are not receiving the ball, the Sons, the Lucas, the Bergwijns, you know? And even today, I thought it was very interesting. I know we always see, like, Ndombele as being as like a roaming deep-lying eight, right? But there were a number of times when he was feeding the ball into Kane in that central area, and he was making runs beyond the man, you see? Yeah. We have missed that from one of our midfielders. And when Ndombele does that, he not only has the ability to find the striker in doing that, but he has the trickery, the guile, to try and fashion some sort of opportunity for himself. And there was a number of times that he did that for us today as well.
So he almost got the goal from that.
You know? So, I mean,
like, and it's funny you say that, because to add to that, look, the opinion on Ndombele is very simple. We know he's a talent. Yeah, there's no denying that. And I know a lot of people, a lot of Spurs fans especially, have attributed him to Tarabat. The difference between him and Tarabat is, you know, like, the two are two different players in my eyes. Tarabat, for me personally, it was very obvious he had run-ins with members of the Tottenham staff. It was very obvious because there was no reason why he shouldn't have even been anywhere near the first team. Yeah, so it was very off. That's why he got shipped off on loan. But with Ndombele, he doesn't seem to have that. People seem to like him. And I know Ali Gold has come in and, you know, said all this cycle stuff and all that kind of stuff. Look, you're one more article away from being a snitch, bruv. Like, that's where you are.
I'm dead.
you're extremely close. Yeah, like, you're thievering on the line, seriously. Like, all them YouTube clips, they're not going to save you if you become a snitch to the club. You know what I'm saying? You're out here making just articles for the sake of articles. Who said it? I'd rather you just come out and say it was weak, isn't it? Like, just name names, isn't it? Just name names. Because all this tackle business, when it was under Jose, the first season under Jose, he didn't even get a look. Yeah, man was on the bench, man was at home. Man was on the bench, man was at home. Then the second season, he started to get a look. And who got dropped? Kilometer man got dropped. And people, we should be playing early, man. We should be playing early. Them legacy fans, or the ones that get the freaking tier 4 seats. We should be playing early, man. Yeah, man. And you should be playing, man. You don't know what you're doing, man. All right, cool. You got your kilometer man back in. What is he doing? Now you're still screaming for Ndombele. But the manager that was playing him week in, week out, and would have played him in the final, by the way. Yes, I'm talking to you, Ryan Mason, you chief. Yeah, would have played him in the final. Yeah, got him sacked. So cool. So hear what I'm saying. Right, done. Ndombele needs to be given the free roll. Like all of this 10, 6, 8, the guy needs to roam wherever the hell he wants to roam. Yeah, because he's got the talent and the feet to do that. Let the guy be free. Put Højbjerg, Skip, I don't care what the combination is, put the combination that unlocks this freaking vault. Because if you don't do it, you're going to piss me off. But you know what you could do just to make Nuno happy? And I hope Nuno is watching this. Yeah, Nuno, you can skip to 49 minutes and 30 seconds. And trust me, this is key to you surviving at Spurs, because you're one more match away from me kicking you out myself personally. You hear me? If you want to keep Kolomba man in your team, play Højbjerg, Skip, Kolomba man, and then Ndombele. Son Kane.
We see that diamond thing.
Like, no diamond. No diamond.
What, 4-3-3?
It's a
4-3. I'm trying to get my head around it. So what, who's taking
4-3-3 and Ndombele is free.
Oh, yeah? Like the old school Eriksson role, basically.
Because Ali is Kolomba man. He's gonna cover the ground. Yeah, so it has to be a 4-3-3. Højbjerg and Skip can be the sitters. Now you've got kilometer man doing all of this, all of that nonsense. Yeah, Ndombele is now free. Son and Kane, no longer positional sense. Be free. That top three. So it really would be a top three. Ndombele is free though. Yeah, all three of them roam into the spaces, make havoc. But that's just me, you know, just chatting anyway. Because, you know, I'm not a coach, you know what I mean? I'm just here trying to help man out. That's all it is. You know,
Oh, my dear. That's on Hotspur, you get a better football manager as well.
I'm just trying to help man out, that's all.
It's a very good point you made there about he does need a free role, but he needs a situation to be set up behind him, because he's not going to be the best when it comes to, you know, to defending. We know Dembele was able to put pressure on the ball, win the ball back, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Dominic does it every so often, but that's not in his game. You know, we didn't buy him to do that. It's interesting what you said about playing him up top, or even about mentioning about him making those runs beyond Harry Kane. In his best performances for us, in the games that we won last year against like City and Arsenal, it's interesting that in some of those games, I think the ones that Ndombele played, he actually went further forward and was our last man. And we were knocking the ball up to him, because not only can he beat the press, once he's got the ball, right, and the centre-back comes trying to clatter into him, you ain't getting the ball off him, my G. So then Kane's looking and going, right, just slip me in, right? And then I think that's how we got the goal for Son against Arsenal, I think. And Ndombele won it back, knocked off to Kane. Kane then drops it into Son, and then Son makes a mockery of the Arsenal defence, as we know he can do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. He got 80 minutes tonight. I saw a comment earlier about he looks semi-fit. Yes, he hasn't played since before the cup final. So he will look...
He's match fitness. That's all it is.
semi-fit, he looked much better than Harry Winks. He's probably been doing 5K on
I don't care about that Real Madrid performance. Harry Winks has never looked this.
Hey, one of these days, bro, we need to go back to Yao versus Winks, bro, just for the bats.
Yeah, we do, man. I'm not going to lie. We need to go back because I had stocks, man, from way back.
Listen, we need to see that. We might need to make that Patreon.
Make it happen, bro.
Because Winks ain't had no hat tricks in it. That's what I'm saying. I never heard about Winks having no hat tricks and all of that.
True.
Right, guys. So, you know, we discussed, you know, Rennes. We talked about Ndombele. Oh, a big game coming up at the end of this week. Before we touch on that, just I'll probably just go to one person just for time, just to speak on Daniel Levy. He's been talking a bit more in the past 6 months than he usually does. There is a quote. There's many quotes from him, but there's one that I wanted to bring attention to when he talks about recruiting someone who can bring back free flowing, attacking, and entertaining football. It took him 70 plus days to find a manager that he felt could satisfy this statement. Okay. Now, I did GCSE maths. So I struggled a bit with, you know, maths beyond that, right? I know an equation that's wrong when I see it, okay? And right about now, I'm not sure Nuno fits this equation. It's free-flowing plus attacking plus entertaining. Emma. Speak to me, please. Am I reading this wrong? This is a wrong equation, right? This is not gonna work.
Bro, all I know is 2 + 2 is supposed to equal 4, isn't it? It's always supposed to equal 4. But I think certain men are adding it up. They're getting 22, they're getting 600, they're getting all kind of numbers. You know what I'm saying? They're getting all kind of numbers. But we know, if there's one thing we know about Daniel Levy, it's that there's certain parts of the job that Donny's good at. And none of those parts are necessarily football. Like, we've always known that. We've always known that, innit? The guy's good at... He's going to sell... He's got a 1-in-2 rate of selling players at a good rate. And he's got a 1-in-10 rate of buying players at a good rate. Yeah? He's going to buy one good player for every 10 players that he tries to buy. And I think his manager picks are very similar. He's got like a 1-in-10 rate for managers. Like, his picks are not very good, innit? So I wasn't looking, I'm not going to lie, when we was talking about Nuno, in fact, the whole time, I wasn't thinking that this was going to go well, man. But one thing I will say about Nuno is, people tell me that Nuno is going to control games or anything like that. Like, obviously, this is nothing like what Levy said. It's the complete opposite. But people tell me that Nuno is trying to control games, yeah? I'm seeing the opposite, bro. I'm seeing teams give us the ball because they know we ain't got no plan. That's what I'm seeing. Yeah, it's looking like the end of Poch. That's what it was like at the end of Poch's reign, innit? Yeah, when there was no plan. It was like, yeah, give them the ball, bro. 70% possession. Who cares? What they going to do? Pass it sideways. Fucking Winks. Pass it sideways all day, bro. No one cares. That's what I'm seeing right now. So like you said, Dave, I've got no idea how Levy got from what he said to what he ended up with. But I think it's like, you know, when you have an argument with the missus sometimes and she might say something a bit loud on that night and then a little bit later she ends up being wrong, you get me? She might not recall too well what she said earlier, you know what I mean? I think it's a little bit of that inside Levy, I can't lie to you.
Hey, we might need to clip that, you know? Cause...
I'm not sure, my missus ain't wrong.
Yeah. Hey, bro, you trying to get my shit out of here, fam.
Hey, listen, man.
I didn't see no one shaking
their head. Not taking their head.
You see Nuno, boy, yeah? Lads, the numbers don't lie.
Tops. Yeah, Tops. I want to bring Tops in because Tops and I, we spoke earlier this week about some of these stats. Mm.
Lads, okay? The numbers don't lie. The numbers do not lie.
Have you got them, Tops? Have you got them in front of you, yeah?
Let me try and pull some up.
Well, are we talking like stats of the overall game?
I got something.
Yeah, man.
The eye just tells you it's not good.
So, as you mentioned before as well, this man, his quote was, I'd like to bring in a coach that brings attacking, progressive football. Tottenham have played 4 games previously before this first game. We have not had possession more than 55% in any of the possession. Actually, over the 4 games... 44% average possession. All right.
44.
We have conceded the most number of shots in the Premier League. 20 teams in the Premier League, Tottenham have conceded the most. In terms of blocks and clearances, we are amongst company like Watford, Norwich, Crystal Palace. Mm. And in terms of shots made, we are second lowest in the league in terms
nasty.
Of everything about the way this
nasty,
game is football is as far as what we could ever think when someone says attacking progressive football. And what I think is so crazy about this is that you can't even spin it and try and tell me that, well, it was Paratici, he's the one who wanted Nuno. Tell me what in Nuno's CV showed me that this guy plays progressive attacking football. Because at this point, and I don't want to be like too rash, I don't want to be too over the top, but I don't want to waste any time with this rubbish anymore. I don't want to say Nuno out, but this guy is playing, it's pushing me to think, yeah, this is Mourinho set two. Because we have, as a group, seen this type of football before. Let's be honest. We've got to be honest. Lots of chances conceded. Very low shots. Very low XG. Very low progression of football. And we're winning games very, very tightly. Or we're playing badly and losing badly. I'm telling you, I don't think we should be sitting here and being like, we need to give him time. We need to give him the right profile of players. We need to get all his first teamers back. At the end of the day, I know it's not really comparable, but there are certain teams in the league that have also had new managers and they have had their styles implemented immediately. I'm looking at Chelsea. Tuchel is coaching them very well. Better profile of player, fine. Better coach, fine. Better type of football, fine. I'm looking at teams like Wolves. Haven't even got a better team than us, but you can already see what Bruno Lage is doing with Jimenez, with Trincao, the way he's changed Adama's role. You can even go as far as saying teams like Brighton under Potter. Them men are not better than us in terms of man-to-man, but the style of play that they've implemented from Houghton to Potter is starks beyond what we are playing now. So if you're going to say to me that you are promising us or you're going to give us attacking progressive football, why is it that when I'm watching pre-season, when I'm watching early starts of the season, early games in the season, I'm not seeing anything that's giving me any real confidence, that's making me believe that, you know what, this is going to turn around. How is it that the world's best striker can go into a game you set up for and not touch the box, not touch the ball in the box, or have a shot for the first time in his career?
That's the world's best striker. Who's the world's best striker?
Yeah. We know about that.
Nah.
Give him his ratings, fam. Give him his ratings, fam.
You don't earn stripes like that. You don't earn stripes like that when you've had 390 minutes in a final and all you've taken is four shots in four finals. You don't earn stripes like that. Sorry.
He is
the world's greatest hiding striker of all time. That's what he is, yeah? And until he delivers armpits and silverware above his head, he will not earn his name back from me.
I mean, as a Tottenham fan, I'm not saying Nuno out, but all I want is, I just want better for my brothers. I just want better for my football club. And right now, when I'm watching this, it's not giving me what it's supposed to give. Let's be honest, gents. Like, we want a team that's playing attacking good football with the quality that we have. Our bait is not much quality, but the style is not giving. It's not giving at all. And honestly, it's giving me shades of Mourinho. Big, big shades of Mourinho. So unless I see something very stark, very different, very soon, I'm going to be waiting on this guy's neck. I'm telling you that from the very beginning. It's funny that Todd says that.
It's funny that Todd says that because, what, about half an hour ago, did I not go through the 11? Listen.
Yeah, brother.
Let's just take a look. I'm not rating Nuno like that, by the way. So let's And anyone that's for or anyone that's listening to this that thinks, ah, oh, no, he's trying to defend Nuno. No, I ain't. But I've just gone through the 11. I've gone through the fringe as well. The team is cack.
It's been dead though. It's rubbish.
So when we're talking attacking football, there's two ways this can go. We attack and get banged, yeah. Or we attack, score goals and get banged, yeah. Or we don't attack and we somehow fashion a win. Yeah, and that's where we're at right now. We don't attack and we somehow fashion a win, or we lose and we lose badly. But all I can see is, if people are like, oh yeah, release the reins of this player, bruv, Eric Dier, the starting centre-back.
You said enough. You said enough. Just the name alone.
What can I say after that?
The name alone,
it's
bro.
It's true. And, you know,
on that, I must say. Even tonight, we saw it. When we play higher up the pitch, it gives us a better chance. And you know, the quality in the team is in the attacking places, right? So when we Kane and Ndombele, Son, whatever, that's where our strength is. So the fact that we've had two managers in a row, I'm not counting Ryan Mason as a manager. He was a schoolboy doing some badges. He was doing a Blue Peter apprentice, really. For me,
I've got no stops in him. I don't want to see his face ever again. What he did in that final is disgusting.
Criminal, disgusting
stuff.
Yeah, so the fact that we've had two men, Mourinho and now Nuno, who insist on having passages of play where we just sit back and tired defenders make mistakes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not top quality, let's be honest. They're not top quality. We still have diabolical, like we've heard multiple times. But tired defenders who are under constant pressure make tired mistakes. And that's what we're seeing time and time again. And I feel like seeing that Chelsea have had an extra 2 days of rest, they played half the games that we're going to play at the weekend, and we're coming back from France, probably have to do a couple of COVID tests. We got half of our team coming over from Croatia because they've been out there because they had to just about, not Croatia, was it Croatia? Is that where they're at?
Croatia, yeah.
In Croatia, because you know, obviously, the whole Brazil thing, they're not arrested, they come out of prison, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be mashed up on Sunday, and that's just even before the game. So, we're going to switch our attention to the Chelsea game, right? I would like to call it a preview, but I feel like we might as well just read the credits already.
Yeah, preview of the annihilation.
We should just read the credits right now, okay? So,
we're at home.
Yeah.
It does. Oh, we're losing 3-0.
They're homeless.
Safe.
Yeah, we ain't scored at home for a minute.
Yeah, we're losing 3-0.
Scores. That's all I want. Scores. Error, what are you saying?
I'm going to go for a 1-0. 1-0 Chelsea.
One.
Because I think Nuno's going to put all... Like, literally, he's going to be playing fucking 9. And then Kane... He's going to play 9 at the back and Kane at number 10.
Cool. 1-0 from Era. Tops, you just broke down the DNA of our team like a true doctor would. What are you saying? What's your prediction for the score?
Chelsea gonna eat, man. Like, you see Rom. Rom's gonna roll up to the lane. You see, when you're at a wedding and the wedding's popping off and everyone's had a bit of a dance and you go to the food table and there's a bit of dessert, you're thinking, a bit of cheesecake, don't know, a few profiteroles, some eclairs. I'll have all of them, man. That's what that guy is going to come up to Spurs and do against Rodon, against Dier, against Tanganga. He's going to go there and eat, because I just do not trust that defense at this point. Like, people are like, well, we could maybe, you know, fashion a result like we did against Man City. No. Yeah. Chelsea are a very well-drilled, well-coached side, and they are coming for blood. And I promise you, the boos are going to be ringing out on Sunday. So, in my opinion, I'm saying 2-3-0. I don't even care at this point, man.
I feel like that's when Spurs play their best, though, man. When we're just expected to do nothing, bro. This Spurs team, especially, like, when they're expected to do something, like, against Palace, they just fold. They crumble, bro.
The thing is, though, like, the team's there's so much uncertainty.
That's what I was going to say.
Play best means lose by 1-0, by the way. Play their best.
Yeah, but I think, Eric, you got to remember, yeah? We play our best in those games when Son is playing. And he ain't going to be playing this
week. Even that real talk. Yeah. Real
he's the point of game player, you know, if you really want to be honest. Yeah, what are you saying? Is it a Sunday buffet sentence? Is it
y'all look stressed.
Is it the buffet? Is that it? The parking, Havertz. I mean, they could play Werner. He'll probably get a hat-trick.
They're running a chopping.
Listen.
If Werner plays, he's definitely getting a hat-trick.
Listen, I'm going to church on Sunday. I don't know about you, but... I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm coming home. I'm sleeping, innit? Like, you might can tell me the result later. Like, I'm not watching the game. That I'm putting it out there. So nobody can come say, oh, did you watch? I'm not watching the game. Two, I'm not checking for no notifications either, because it's going to be ringing off. Yeah, it's going to be yellow cards, go. Yeah. Penalty, go. It's just not going to look nice. So, I'm going to say, before I say anything, actually, Kane hasn't scored yet.
Nope.
Not in the league.
He hasn't scored, apart from the qualifiers.
That doesn't count.
I'm talking group stage and in the league, he hasn't scored. Yeah?
Nope. Hasn't registered.
All right. So, hear what I'm saying. Got no Son. What, three man coming back from Penn? This is tough, bruv. Erison 1-0. What did you have it at tops?
2-3-0.
2-3-0. We lose 3-1. They score a goal for us.
I'm done. Hey, get me out of here. Get me out of here, bro.
Oh, man. I can't even be optimistic, man. What the hell is this, man?
I got nothing. You know what? You know what the funny thing is, it's bad over here.
You know,
it's bad. Like, you know what? Yeah, big man thing, like, yeah.
It's bad over
if you
here.
Ask, 20 minutes ago, when I looked down the list and I thought, all right, we're going to get to the preview. What would be the score that I would preview? And I was going to say 3-1 loss. And I was thinking, all right, who scores that goal? And I couldn't come up with anyone. So you've just solved my conundrum. You said, yeah, 3-1, we'll get a goal. But it'll be Rudiger. You know what? Like, we might as well call up Essien and Lampard and them, man. Try and get them to score for us.
Look, honest to God, yeah. I honestly wanna be like 100% against Nuno, because I think he's trash. Like, this is just me on a personal opinion. I think as a manager, he's trash. But just like under Mourinho, just like under the last 18 months of Poch, yeah? And it's the last 18 months, not the last year, the last 18 months of Poch. And just now, the common denominator is these mother-sucking players, bruv, yeah? And this is what's making me mad. I'd rather be proven wrong by Nuno and the club, by the way. I'll happily be proven wrong. I'll happy at the end of the season. I'll be happy even at the end of Sunday. People will be like, you see, you're too negative. I'll be happy with that. I'll be comfy. Yeah. But the eye test don't lie. Yeah. And now we found out that the stats don't lie. So we got the stats and the eye test working against us. Big man, I can't name you a goal that we scored this season that I thought, that was tender. That was nice, yeah. Even the goal against City, I was like, yeah, all right.
That's Nathan Ake.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, cool. Son scores a goal from a free kick because the keeper decides he doesn't want to go touch the ball, and then he scores a penalty. Then we lose all three of those goals aggregate to Crystal Palace. So now we're on Nimpoa, Yeah.
And we ain't got no Euros in.
We got no Euros. We're bottom of the goal list. All right, cool, safe. And then, to make matters worse, we're going up against Chelsea at home. So not even like a little, bruv, it's bad out here. Like, where's the quick 3 points when you need it? Where's Norwich? Yeah, when you need it. Even Norwich
want to butt them, man. Man, I want to butt them, man, right now.
final thing before we bounce. Obviously, it's pretty much patchwork through our team. Defense, we've got half our guys coming back from Croatia, like we said. Up front, with all the injuries now we've got, with Lucas went off injured today, Bergwijn went off injured today, it's going to be a patchwork job up the top. Obviously, Hugo picks himself, he'll be back in. Gallini didn't really cover himself in any sort of glory tonight. But I want to get you guys just to give me your midfield three. Okay, I'm assuming he sticks with 4-3-3. Let's see. He may try to switch up and go 3-4-3 and try and match them, which I think will be an absolute mistake. But if it's a midfield three that he goes for, right, and it's the final thing before we bounce, who do you go for, Era?
I go for... You know what? I'm even thinking, yeah, is there anything I could say, brother? I don't think there's anything else I could say other than Skips, Mbaye, and then Dombele. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd have to go for that three. If it's available, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. Tops.
I will always want to start in Dombele, but I just think based on the performance against Man City, he's probably going to go with
He's going to go
Ali.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to know what he's going to do. I want to know Tops, coach.
What you would do? Yeah.
I'd always have a Dombele playing, because I feel like that's the perfect foil for him to have Skip and Højbjerg. So that would be my starting for the weekend. I feel like the Dombele's performance deserved it, and it gives us a bit of a mixture of players of different qualities in that midfield. So that's what I think is going to happen, but. That's what I want to happen, but I don't think it will.
Yeah, what are you saying?
I would go with God, Jesus, and then Dombele. Sounds right.
In that order.
You know, obviously God, then his son, Jesus Christ, guiding us to Savior, and then Dombele. And an assist. I think it sounds right. I think it works. The balance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of symmetry. You know, there's a lot of the religion's good.
Oh,
you know,
Rav,
you know what it is? It's gonna be the obvious three. I hold stocks in Skip, so you know, I hope he don't let me down. So it'll probably be Skip. Højbjerg. You know what? I'm running out of stock on this you know. Seriously. I'm not going to lie to you. Højbjerg is...
I preferred him in his role under Mourinho, I'm not going to lie, than he is now, than the role he plays now.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just need to see better from him, to be fair. and Dombele, it's obvious. And the reason why it's obvious is because Ali is crap. He wouldn't... Look, listen... Well, at what point in his life did he change his name to Ali to shun his father?
That was the day. If you could find the minute in a post, bro, you could find the exact minute like when they posted the article, from. That was the day, bro.
Listen, you never, yeah. As anybody of African heritage will tell you this, you never in your life shun your father in the public eye. Impossible. The man back there will have your legs broken, yeah, and you won't even know why. Ali runs like he don't have legs. Yeah, now hear me up. He shunned his father's name. Yeah, he used to be known as Delhi, Bama Delhi. Yeah, Obama Delhi. Yeah, man used to be known, but the real Nigerian name. Shunned his father, and everything has been downhill since. Uncle, I am sorry. Yeah. He apologize. Take it off. Take it off him, please.
Oh, please.
We're all dead, bro. We're all dead.
It's new, bro. Uncle, please, please. Hey, anybody in Nigeria right now that's watching this, please show this to Delhi's father. Please take it off. Go to the bush, talk to them, man. Give them, if I even have to pay pesos, man, will do it myself, bruv. Make it happen. Take the judge off, bruv. It's crazy out here. I've never seen a man decline and he went and got dreads. That's very Jamaican, yeah? And the thing about that, yeah, is you don't do that to a Nigerian father after you've done it shunned. All of this stuff is wrong. Everything he's doing is wrong. Yeah, Africans don't play this. Whack it all off. Apologize. Yeah, apologize to your dad. Revert your name back.
His father, you know.
Revert your name back to Delhi, and then we can move, bruv. Man is moving out here, Ali. He's dry, bro. He's never getting another England call up again, and he better not ask Nigeria. They're not taking him either. It's long for him.
I don't even know what his midfield three is, but that was hilarious.
It's the holy trinity, bro.
What about you, Dave? What about you, Dave?
Me? You know what? You know what? I've got Stocks and Skip. I like him, but I'm not playing him.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
I'm not playing against Chelsea, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think he's got too many minutes in the tank as it is.
I can hear that. I definitely can hear that.
I can definitely get
so what do you do, Højbjerg back at the base?
For this one, because you know how they run their midfield, right? Yeah. And you're gonna have to cut off, because remember they play with wide players who like to come inside, Mount, Havertz, them kind of man there, yeah. So yeah, I'll play Højbjerg and say, look, go back to Mourinho. Vibes. Okay. Dombele on one side. And I don't think... Oh.
He gonna say it! You know what you're saying, bro.
It's not going to be Delhi. It's not going to be Delhi. I might go with my new Croatian friend, Giovanni Lo Celso Seca.
Man paid bail.
Can I tell you why? Shall I tell you why? I need a guy who can carry the ball. He may not make great decisions, but he can carry the ball. Mm-hmm. I need a man with a bit of bite in the tackle. Ali doesn't have that. Right? Lo Celso can give me that. And that's about it, really.
That's the end of the pros. He runs like he's got two legs, bro. That's the only other thing I can give him, bro.
I don't want to see the mixed heritage Jamaican Nigerian Delhi. Right?
Delhi Marley, right?
Hold on, guys. Sorry, I must apologize. I just disrespected the family name of Marley. I'm not going to call him that.
Yeah, okay? You can't call him that.
We'll just call him him. Right. So
Him, sir.
Right, so we've got the guy with the dreads, right? We've got Winks. Who else is in that midfield?
Oh, he's Benny Malo.
Nah, Winks is not a
man. That's what I'm saying. Because of those options, I'd rather take the guy who's going to have one training session late on Saturday night, right, after being in Croatia. And you know how cheap the alcohol is in Croatia. I was there a couple years ago. Anyway,
I was there before Christ.
Let me say.
Look at these men.
We're not like you, man. Up top, bro. Before Christ. We're praying for you, man. Calm down.
The good times.
Anyway, yeah. So I'd rather take Gio, come back with some fresh Euros, and just ride my luck. Because the other options at the moment, I think Skip is looking a bit tired. He did have a good game today, but the European game was slower. Too many minutes. And I think the Chelsea midfield is way too powerful for him. And if he's playing deep and he's going to have to try track Havertz and Mount and Lukaku, their movement, I'm not putting him into that situation so early in the season. I'd put Højbjerg just for a bit of experience, Gio for a bit of bite. And then Dombele, because if we do win the ball back, if Jorginho lets us have the ball, okay, I need someone who can beat the first man, look up, make some sort of pass, and we'll see what happens from there. But guys, it's been great. It's been a pleasure to make my debut hosting with such a stellar. And I did warn you guys at the beginning, there was more potency in this lineup than we saw on the pitch tonight. Right, more potency in this lineup, and we haven't disappointed. Like I said, shout out to our international friends who've been tuning in. And if you're from somewhere else in the world, drop a like, subscribe, drop a comment, tell us where you're from. I like this comment here: Indomitable to done Jorginho's dance. Oh, we can hope, oh, we can pray. Yao is going to be fasting from tonight until Sunday at 6 o'clock, just to help us out. When he wakes up from his sleep, his post-church sleep, Aaron's probably not going to watch the game again. Just watch a couple of highlights.
You're evil, my brother.
You're evil, sweet, no evil. And Tops undoubtedly will be doing his best doctor impression of DNA, breaking us down as he does. I say impression, we all know. Tops is the real deal. Guys, it's been great. Like I said, like, subscribe, share this with your uncle, your friends, your family, whether you're a Tottenham fan or an Arsenal fan, whether you're from our side or the enemy side, behind the enemy lines. Let's do this. Get the word out. This is the best podcast in the world. So we're signing out. Peace, love, harmony.
On debut, Tunge Ndombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.